Welcome back, everyone, to what we're going to call the last episode of the season. Now, what we are going to be doing is releasing an episode on the first of every month up until preseason testing. Follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter for all the updates, and we'll be keeping you up to date with different news things. We'll still be releasing reels of our favorite moments, but yeah, we're going to come back on the 1st of December with a sort of post-season review. So yeah, make sure you stick around. If you're here on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. It really does mean a lot to us. What also means a lot to us is if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, which we are available on, give us 5 stars, because that actually helps us out a big deal. Anyway, not going to drag this out anymore. Thanks for watching. Thanks for spending the season with us. It has been a pleasure. We've enjoyed it, and hopefully... Let me just put that light on very quickly. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed it. And we are going to be back next season with a brand new Mercedes car. Thank the Lord.
All right, guys, welcome along to another episode. And I'll be honest, I don't know where this season's gone. Like, it only feels like yesterday we started doing this. You know, back in, when was it, March, we started doing this podcast?
For a season that has felt... A racing season that has felt so long, for obvious reasons. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm pointing. Well, if you're not watching on YouTube, I'm pointing to my Mercedes cap. It's been a rough season for us boys. If you're a Red Bull fan, I'm sure this season is gutted. But yeah, the actual, like, recording wise, the season has flown by.
Yeah.
But I have. I am grateful this season is over.
Oh, do you know what? Yesterday, when it finished, when we saw Lewis Hamilton retire, we were like, do you know what? Just bin the car.
And, like, you know, a number of things. Another Red Bull domination. And that, again, this is not like an attack at Red Bull at all, because they've clearly absolutely mastered the car. I just want to see closer racing. You know, I said next season, I want Mercedes in the mix, but I want Ferrari in the mix, and I want Red Bull in the mix. I want them all in the mix, and I want us to have a quality three-way fight where, you know, this season we have just had... It's been Ferrari a little bit, should have been more, but Red Bull. And then, you had the one Mercedes thrown in there. You haven't even had, like last season, where, okay, I know it's through different incidents, but you had a McLaren win. You had Ocon win a race in an Alpine. The year before, you had Gasly win a race. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, those, we haven't even had the opportunity to have those. And I think that's a testament to the job that Red Bull have done.
Oh, Red Bull, you know, as Mercedes fans, we saw 8 years basically of dominance. Seven from Lewis Hamilton.
Can I stress, is, in my opinion, a little bit boring, which I've used the reference before to when, as a Liverpool fan, when we won the league during that COVID season, it was amazing, but it was like we had won the league so early on, it was almost a bit boring. I loved the competition.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to see a three-way fight next season.
That's why last year was so good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for years, yeah, we've had Lewis Hamilton dominate, Mercedes dominate, and I can understand why fans go, oh, do you know what? Oh, this is really boring. I'm losing the love for the sport. Because this year... it's been a Red Bull dominance. So you can see it from the other angle. And like you said, even when Lewis Hamilton was dominating, there was no real challenge.
And the thing is, you know, okay, we've seen a change in who's dominating, but it's been another domination season. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't want to see that next season from any team.
You want to see the Red Bulls, you want to see the Ferraris, you want to see the Mercedes.
And I'd love to see it. I think there's a massive opportunity for Alpine to close the gap. Granted, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with their car at the moment, but
awful, isn't it?
They can't seem to complete a race without one of them having an issue. But, you know, there's massive opportunity for them. We know Aston Martin are throwing money at the system. Obviously, in terms of development and stuff, they have to stay within a budget cap. But, you know, outside of that, there's big investment. There's opportunity for McLaren. I mean, you know, Lando Norris, I think this season is a standout driver from that sort of... Well, what were we saying yesterday when we were watching? We were like, he's like the Max Verstappen of the midfield.
Yeah, he's consistent. He's there. He doesn't do anything amazing, but he's just consistent week in, week out.
He's just... clear of the rest. So I think if, you know, if he's given a car that is able to compete, I just think, you know, we talk about, okay, I want, let's be realistic. Next season, you can probably only bet that it's going to be Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari that will be going for race wins consistently. That's fine. But what I don't just want is like the like leaderboard to be Mercedes, Mercedes, Ferrari, Ferrari, Red Bull, Red Bull. Do you know what I mean? In whatever order. I want to see like Lando's grabbing podiums. Oh, the Alpines.
Yeah.
Alonso in the Aston Martin, he's grabbing the odd podium. Just so there's a little bit of competition.
I just, like you had last year. Was it last year when in Baku you had Seb on the podium?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. You want to see someone different on the podium. Yeah. It's exciting.
And I appreciate that, like, sometimes that's just not how the sport works, but that's what I'm hoping for next season. Just a bit more excitement. But overall, good season. You know, I think we've had some really good races within the season.
We've seen closer racing this year, and that's something which we're expecting from these new cars. Sorry, if I'm sounding croaky, it's because I've got a man flu.
He's been crying all night because Lewis's 15-season record has just come to an end where he was unable to win a race or get a pole position.
Whoa. It wasn't just me crying. You phoned me at 4 a.m. this morning going, I just can't sleep, mate.
That was tough to take. A record like that, you know.
It's pretty incredible, to be fair.
It is. And I think, you know, we've spoken about Lewis's. He's been pretty lucky in his career with cars.
Yeah.
But he has had a few stinkers. I think it goes to show how bad this car is.
Oh, it's been awful. Toto Wolff said yesterday, we're going to put it in our reception at their, what's it called?
Like
their factory. Like, their factory.
Brackley.
Just so you know that actually you go through tough times and, you know, basically nothing.
I think it goes to show that no matter how good you think you are, it can change in an instant.
Yeah. Don't you think sometimes that it's, you know, the season we had last year with those two cars, the Mercedes and the Red Bull,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you have just liked maybe one more season of those cars, of those battles between Max and Lewis? Because it would have been so interesting, especially after what happened in Abu Dhabi, coming back, seeing Mercedes and Red Bull go head to head, to finally see in that area. Don't get me wrong, the new cars, they look good. I mean, they seem to be racing.
In terms of shape, they are the nicest looking F1 cars, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think the way they're so like futuristic, like last year's cars and how long they've been, a bit boxy.
Yeah.
These are like nice and round. They're all curved. And I know like they used to look really nice pre-2013. I used to love the car. Like I say, one of my favorite cars is that Renault that Alonso won his two championships in. And I think those cars even look nicer than the previous ones. But yeah, the actual design of these, I like the curves.
Yeah.
They look so nice.
Do you know what I miss? The McLaren in silver.
Yeah. I do like the orange.
Like,
but I think that silver McLaren was...
Yeah.
And that's what you think of, isn't it? Well, I've also said I loved it when they had the black on it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when... I don't know, that's probably like... Hakkinen,
yeah.
Raikkonen.
Who were they sponsored by? It was a cigarette company, wasn't it?
Wasn't it West?
West, yeah. Was it?
Were they Siggies?
I don't know. Are they?
Ferrari were. They had Marlboro, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I remember that.
No, I liked it. Anyway, we are going off topic here. Let's get into a couple of bits of news, shall we? This bit. I'm really baffled by this, in all honesty.
Are we going to seem like slow sports news here?
No. It's kind of come out already, but we're going to give our opinion on it. Hulkenberg to Haas.
So we are. This obviously, you would have heard about this last week probably, but we haven't had a chance to speak about it with you guys on here.
Hulkenberg has been out of the sport now for 3 years. Okay. They have Mick Schumacher. Don't get me wrong. It hasn't set the world alight.
No.
But they're bringing in a guy into Haas, who hasn't driven in F1 for 3 years, who's been a reserve driver for Aston Martin.
Did a race for them as well.
Did a race, yeah. Granted, got no points.
But
they're bringing him in to line up with Kevin Magnussen. In all honesty, this baffles me because they could have brought in another youngster, whatever. with Mick Schumacher, don't get me wrong, he has had a shocking season, and I'm not going to defend him here.
Shocking might be a bit strong.
Not shocking. Inconsistent season.
Yeah, I don't think he's lived up to the expectations. But then we have also discussed on here, the expectation on a man with the surname Schumacher is perhaps always going to be a little unfair at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. But what I don't understand, okay, Haas last year was a write-off. That car was a joke of a car. It was, and when I mean joke of a car, I mean awful car.
But they did. They spent zero money on development, didn't they?
Granted. So what can you expect of a guy to go into a car and perform in a car where you don't spend any money on it? Coming into this year, brand new car, okay, brand new specifications, brand new everything. They've only given him one season. He had moments of really good racing. He got some points. It doesn't make sense to me that
what was the discrepancy between him and K-Mag in the championship?
So I can tell you, it was, Kevin Magnussen had 25 points.
Yep.
And Mick Schumacher had 12. So half, pretty much half.
Which is quite a lot in, I know it doesn't sound a lot, but when you're looking at the amount of points that they'd be achieving in a race, it's quite a lot of points.
It is a lot. But surely, correct me if I'm wrong here, surely it'd be better to give Mick Schumacher one more year, considering, okay, realistically, this is his first proper year in a competitive car as such. Give him one more year to prove himself, rather than bring in another guy who's been in and around a sport for however long, never been on the podium, never really done much in F1, but you're bringing him in to team up against Kevin Magnussen.
I think Danny Ric will be looking at this thinking like, anything's possible.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be harsh to Hülkenberg, but
I feel like he's had his chance.
Oh, 100%.
Like more 100%, than enough chance.
I mean, how many times do you need to bring someone into sport again?
The Mick thing, right? I understand it. Okay, he's crashed a fair bit.
Yep.
So he costs the team in that sense. I'm under the impression that he's not actually one of the cheapest rookies.
No.
So I understand it. You want to ship him out. But I don't really see how getting Hülkenberg in is the team progressing.
No.
Because I feel like you'd have more progression sticking with Mick and having like another year with a driver that performed well at the lower levels.
Yeah.
And he's clearly learned from the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one's had a better teacher than Mick Schumacher.
No.
Do
you mean Michael?
Well,
no one's had a better teacher than
Mick Schumacher, because Mick Schumacher had Michael Schumacher as a
teacher. Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. In my head, I worded it differently. Anyway, move on.
Some humans just have naturally smaller brains.
Look, I've got man flu. All right, I'm struggling.
He is one of them.
Yeah.
It doesn't even seem like a sideward step. It does seem like a backward step for the team because, you know, I feel like they had just a good pairing. And also, you know, I don't think K-Mag and Hülkenberg are
best of friends.
Yeah, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the clip. Suck my balls, mate. I don't know if it's going to mess with the team dynamic. Did you see what Toto said about Günther?
No.
He was asked about Mick, and this is in Sky Germany, so people translated it. He kind of like slated Günther for how he handles dealings with drivers, like in the press and stuff. And then, but he essentially said, "Oh, but Günther's from the mountains. The air's thinner there, so it's harder to think properly, or something along the lines of that."
I just don't understand. It baffles me. It really does baffle me that, like you say, it feels like for a Haas point of view, you're going backwards. You've now got two drivers coming in who are, let's say, veteran in the sports. And
they've got enough years under their belt, I think, to be considered that.
Who's going to be your number one driver? I mean, who do you go to and go, okay, and what are they trying to achieve from this? Because I can understand if you're bringing in someone who, I mean, okay, in a year's time, for example, Sebastian Vettel wants to come back and you're like, oh, do you know what? Actually, I can understand it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I mean, he's incomparable to Nico Hülkenberg.
No, but do you know what I mean? Someone experienced, for example, Danny Ric, he's won a few races. He gets it. He understands
that would make more sense.
But you're bringing in someone who hasn't even been on the podium in all of his career. Okay.
It's
such a weird move.
It is bizarre. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, like with any driver, I hope he comes in and does well. And I think from the start, you know, particularly due to last season, we've had a soft spot for Haas because, you know, they had it so rough last season.
Yeah.
I think naturally everyone likes Gunther. That's probably a drive to survive effect. But it's, decisions like this that make you think, are the team going anywhere? Are they just one of those teams that are sort of in F1? They're not like...
You're not moving forward with it.
They're going to... Essentially, they feel like a team that are... They're not going to be around for always. Do you know what I mean? Just one of those teams that sort of get bought out by someone, have a name change. I don't know. It's a shame for Mick as well. Because I think he comes across as like very pleasant. He's never like one of the drivers where you see him in an interview and you think...
He was very respectful in his... pre-race interview this weekend when they was asked about it,
and
he was give him his due. If that was me and I'd just been let go, I'd be like,
especially because,
suck my balls,
because Gunther has made some comments which I think could easily piss him off.
Yeah,
where you could be like, mate, like, just shut the fuck up. This, like, at least I feel like he's been, and it might not even be intentional, because you know particularly from like Drive to Survive where you see how Gunther is as a person, but it does come across as disrespectful sometimes how it has been handled in the press. And I think Mick has handled it not how I would handle it at, what is he, like 23 or something?
Yeah.
Even now, 26, I wouldn't handle it like that.
No.
So, yeah, fair play. Looks like he's going to be Mercedes reserve driver. That hasn't been announced, but
it's what it looks like. And can I just say, with Mick Schumacher, this would be the perfect time to keep him for one more year, because you've got some real rookies coming in. You've still got Nick De Vries coming in.
But in terms of F1, he is a rookie.
Logan Sargeant coming in. You know, you've got new drivers coming into sport, and this is a perfect time for Mick to then take up a level.
Yeah, to actually be like, no, look, I can race these guys. Yeah,
and I don't know. For me, I don't think it's the right move by Haas, but hey, that's why I'm not a team principal, and that's why I'm sitting here doing a podcast on a Monday evening with you.
It's much easier to sit here and talk shit about people than actually be the people that make the big decisions.
However, when I get F1 Manager 22, Mick, you're staying with Haas.
Why have you still not got it?
I've just been too busy. I am going to get it, though.
Too busy.
I have. Well, not all of us can sit around. Anyway.
What did you do yesterday? You came around my house, ate a pizza, sat down and watched TV for about 3 hours.
One of the nicest pizzas we've had in a while, isn't it?
Matt, I don't know about you boys, and girls, sorry, sexist. Do you, from Domino's, order that that thin base thing that they do?
Normally it's right.
Mate, I don't know what that was. It essentially ordered like tomato sauce and a burnt tortilla. It was crap.
And it looked like literally someone ran it over.
Yeah, it was shocking. Stick to like the normal crust or double Decadence. You ever had that?
No.
It's like two of those, but it's got like this like cheese sauce in the middle.
Oh, that sounds quite nice.
Yeah, mate, it slaps.
Let's move on. Williams confirmed Logan Sargeant to race alongside Alex Albon for 2023. Obviously, this weekend was a bit of a stressful weekend for him this weekend, because it took until Sunday to get his... his points
for his super license.
For his super license.
So he needed a certain amount of, I don't know, is it laps or kilometers? However they work it out.
He needs to finish a certain place in the championships. I think it was fifth or below, or sixth or below, and he needs a certain amount of laps within FP1 or two.
And did you see? He almost went into the barrier. He was like that far away. If you're listening, it's like an inch.
Yeah.
He was so close to going into it. He must have been panicking. There must have been like the longest like 3 seconds of his life as he was approaching that barrier and slowing down.
It's been announced. So we're delighted to announce Logan as our driver for next year after qualifying for super license following the final F2 event of the season in Abu Dhabi.
You seem to think he's going to flop.
I do.
Why? I feel like there's a better selection in
Lawson.
Yeah, but could they get him?
Obviously. I don't know. Well, he's not even F2 next year.
Yeah, true. But he is Red Bull.
I know, but he would have even been better to go to Haas.
What I would say
that
is
would be more exciting.
Liam Lawson did pretty well in that Red Bull.
He was sweet. Yeah.
He was quick.
I've actually watched quite a bit of F2 this year.
Yeah.
Way more than I ever have done. And I have to say, the last couple of your seasons have been the most exciting I've watched in a while. Don't get me wrong, I know
I watched more last season than this season.
Oh, did you? Yeah, don't get me wrong. I know we've had over the years, you know, people like Mick Schumacher, all of that, you know, George Russell. But I don't know, people like Lawson, really exciting driver. And for me, I don't know if Sargeant over the last few races has played it safer, because obviously he needs what he needs. Yeah. But I didn't really see much in there when I was like, do you know what? Wow, okay.
And here's the thing, do you see the top drivers ever play it safe? You know, think of a young, hungry Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
Did he ever play it safe?
No.
Max Verstappen, has he ever played it safe?
No.
This is the thing. Lando Norris, I don't think you've ever really seen him play it safe. You know, I know he understands who his race is with. He's in a bit of a different scenario, but he still pushes these guys. You've seen him, like, race Lewis when he feels like he can.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I think we definitely can't judge him based on that. The thing is, it's almost hard to judge people when they come in and they're driving a Williams, which is like the slowest car on the grid.
Yeah.
So, but I think he'll have a great test going up against Alex Albon, who's performed really well.
See, I don't even think there'll be a competition between them two.
Well, you just think Albon will smoke?
Yeah, I do. Albon again showed this weekend what he can do in that Williams.
Yeah, although qualifying time with Latifi was very, very close between.
Yeah.
It was like 2/100ths, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, Latifi was just going out on one show, wasn't he? Can I just say, exciting next season, another Leclerc coming through the ranks who joins F2.
Is he up in F2 now?
Yeah, he joins Dams for 2023.
Very nice.
Yeah. They're a good-looking bunch, aren't they? We said this yesterday, didn't we?
Annoyingly handsome.
Really isn't. Yeah, really annoying.
I think that would be nice to see him come into F1. Mm. We haven't seen brothers since.
No. Ralph and Michael.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say, and I know people are going to get on my back here, and I said about obviously Lawson that Lawson did beat Sargeant by 1 point in the championship. So yeah. Drugovic, he was outstanding this year, by the way.
Yes,
he was. You know, but again, these people don't get into the sport. This is what I don't understand.
Yeah, you've but got, where is Drugovic?
Where
I swear he's someone's reserve driver. I can't remember who. Aston Martin next year. Is it
Aston Martin? Yeah. It might be, yeah.
I think it's Aston. Google it quickly. But the good thing about F2, right, is I don't know if you ever watch it, and I'm not going to claim that I religiously follow it, but I know, like, who are the exciting names in there, and I do watch the, like, handful of races. The good thing about it is all the cars are equal.
Yeah.
The cars are the same. So you truly do see, like, a driver's pace around the track because they're all in the same car. It also does give you some really exciting racing. Like, have you ever seen that there's a race that Leclerc, like, comes through the whole pack?
Yeah.
And he, like, wins it with, like, it's insane. I don't know where it is, but just search Leclerc F2 comeback drive or something. It's incredible.
You are right, it's Aston Martin.
Is it?
Yeah. But what's been quite good, though, isn't it? We've seen recently over practice, you've seen Doohan, Fittipaldi as well.
Isn't it Doohan?
Doohan.
Jack Doohan.
Is it Doohan? What did I say?
Doohan.
And him as well. So, yeah, I'm quite excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot on this weekend.
Yeah.
You saw, I put on, because I had no idea, I didn't feel very well, I hadn't been looking at stuff. I just flipped, like, FP1 on. I was like, who the fuck are these? I had to, like, work it. Because the only one I didn't know was Pato O'Ward.
Yeah.
I was like, I have no idea who that guy is. I still don't know who he is.
They do all right, though. Lawson did well in the Red Bull.
No, Lawson really did. Schwartzman, he was a bit off the pace in that Ferrari. I don't think any of these sessions define the ability of these drivers.
No, and you've got to remember they're doing different testing. Some are on hard, some are doing long runs. Let us know what your thoughts are. Is it a good move by Williams for Sargeant? Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Let us know, is Hülkenberg a good move for Haas? My gut feeling, my personal feeling, opinion is no.
I feel like Mercedes are the winners here. If they get him,
if they get Mick
as a reserve driver, you know,
they work with Lewis.
That could be, the thing is, this could actually be the best thing to ever happen to Mick, because he could end up getting that Mercedes seat when Lewis leaves.
Yeah.
You never know. I know he's going to need to race in the meantime, but what the, why do you mute it?
Well, I have now.
You could have, they'll be able to see his potential in all the sims. He'll do some free practice sessions. I'm sure if he does go there, Toto will be able to get him a seat somewhere. We know what he's like, works his magic. And then, you know, it might open the door for him to Mercedes in the future. We know that Toto's already claimed like the Schumacher name as like, you know, they belong to Mercedes. It's the German link, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. This could be the best thing to ever happen to him.
Yeah. No, I hope it is. I hope we see it. It's not the end of what we see him.
I think he deserves at least a shot.
Yeah.
In a more competitive car. And I'm not saying he deserves a seat in Mercedes, Ferrari or Red Bull at all. I think we deserve to see him in a better car as well, to see if he is capable of sticking it to, you know, the more competitive drivers in better cars.
Yeah, no, I agree. Shall we talk about Abu Dhabi? So let's get into qualifying. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the most exciting qualifying. I was expecting coming into this one, you know, the deluded Mercedes fans we are, Mercedes weren't going to be a bit closer.
We had porpoising again.
Max Verstappen stole the show. He looks very good. Yep. Along with Perez, lockout, front row lockout between Red Bull. Then it was Ferrari's also looked good.
Ferrari got their pace back. That car has almost been as confusing as the W13 this season.
Oh, no, nowhere near the W13. How many times on here have we gone? I mean, somebody said, even on one of the TikToks the other day, you're deluded. And I was like, no, look, Brazil was really good. And we come back to this weekend and we're back to normal.
Okay, you say that. What was it?
What was that? Okay.
I was just thinking. You say that, right? FP2, what were we? P1, P2.
Yeah.
Then dropped off a little bit in...
FP3.
Then quali came. All of a sudden, the Ferraris were there. They were slower than the Ferraris.
Yep.
Then we move into the race and it's like, oh, what the hell? They're quicker than the Ferraris. And then like... 20 laps into the race, they're slower than them. I don't understand. And as a Mercedes fan,
it is painful.
Put that car up in flames. Don't put it in the fucking reception of Brackley or whatever.
Just burn it.
It doesn't deserve to exist.
So qualifying was, as I said, Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton, George, Russell. Lando Norris did well in 7th.
Again, Lando, and this is what I was saying earlier. You know, Lando was... rightly situated there, and he was almost within the times of those 6.
Yep. And then we had Esteban Ocon in 8th, Sebastian Vettel in 9th. He was on one this weekend.
He was on
Vettel
one.
Was definitely on one.
Did you see it? Like, take a shot every time Seb is slowed down by a Red Bull in like sector 3.
Yeah,
it's just every time he came around, there's a Red Bull there.
And Danny Ric was in P10. Obviously, he did get a 3-place grid penalty from Brazil, put him down in 13th. But on a whole, for the two who are leaving the sport, they didn't have a bad run in qualifying, did they?
No, but again, it's that thing. Once the pressure's off, does it become easier?
Yeah, no.
But I think Seb and, you know, Aston Martin generally have had a pretty good final third of the season.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. Should we get on to the race?
Yeah.
So, good start by Max and Perez.
Yep.
Brilliant start from Lewis, right through, went past Sainz, was on the back of Leclerc, who was in P3, who also had a very good start. And then it was like flashbacks from last season, going down to turn, what was it?
The turn five?
Turn five. No, it was seven?
Something like that.
Something like that. Just coming together. Lewis going wide. This time it looked like he was about to take off.
That's the second time this season that he's hit a sausage curve and gone flying in the air.
What was your thoughts on that? Because obviously what happened was it was deemed that there was no further investigation needed. Mercedes told Lewis to give the place back.
This was no further investigation needed in terms of signs forcing Lewis off the track.
Yes. And then they did an investigation into whether he gained an advantage. So there's two investigations which the FIA did.
So my thoughts are that the door was open. I don't think Lewis had a choice, because I think if he had tried to go down the inside, I think he would have gone into Leclerc.
Yeah.
So I think he had to back off and sort of come behind him. So I don't think Sainz was wrong to make the move.
No.
I don't necessarily think he was forced off track, but I don't think he had any other option. And what I mean by that is, I don't think Sainz did anything necessarily wrong.
No, no.
I think the only reason Lewis ended up cutting that corner was because he smashed into that sausage curb.
Yeah.
And there was almost, you know, he was airborne, and then what's he meant to do? Land, come back down, come over it. You know, it made sense to just...
drive.
Yeah,
because he wasn't going anywhere else, was he? He was, all four wheels were off.
Yeah, the ground. So, I do think it was just a racing incident. Don't understand really why Lewis would have had to give the position back, but he did anyway. I didn't really understand signs coming on the radio saying like he did exactly what he did to Max last season.
But you did the exact same as Max did to Lewis last season. Yeah, so.
It didn't make much sense. And then like him saying, oh, it's super unfair or something. I mean, Lewis was airborne. He would have lost time.
Well, yeah, this is what we said. So you can't gain time by being airborne, can you?
It was, to me, it just, you know, science was right to make the move. Absolutely. Yeah. The door was open. Go for it. But then Lewis hitting that curb and going airborne is what I think makes it unfair having to give that position back, because it wasn't like he just cut the corner. Like, to put it into perspective, last season when Max dived down the inside and Lewis cut the corner, we did say that was harsh.
Yeah.
That Lewis could just stay out in front. I do think this is a bit different purely because he was airborne and he smashed into that curb.
Yeah, although it's a similar incident, Lewis lost out big time there.
Yeah.
In the sense of, and that showed later on, because although he went on, he was literally so close behind Leclerc. Mercedes come over the radio, tell him, Lewis, give the place back to Sainz.
This is what I don't understand about that car. He got so close to Leclerc after that, right? Yeah. After the impact had happened, whatever, the incident with Sainz, he stayed in front and he was closing on Leclerc. Pulling away from signs. Then, okay, team orders, you know, give the position back. Okay, so he gives it back to signs. Gets him back within like two laps. Perfect. He's pulling away, closing in on Leclerc. All of a sudden, the pace just dies.
It made no sense, did it?
To the extent where signs overtakes him again. And George overtakes him.
Then he ends up like 3 seconds behind George.
Yeah. I could not wrap my head around it.
Honestly, watching F1 with Luke is the funniest thing, because you look over and he looks so perplexed. He looks like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I spend most of my time watching the times and I'm like calculating everything in my head, like working everything out. I'm following all the times. And I was just watching it and I was just like, this isn't adding up. How is this happening? How is he gaining after the incident? So I was thinking like, Christ, there's been no damage. That's amazing. I don't understand how. To then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, the car's a piece of shit.
But then later on, what you saw is that he was starting to catch George after pit stops on the hards. He was catching George.
What Lewis said in a post-race interview, which it still doesn't make sense to me, because after the incident, for a good few laps, he was gaining.
Mm.
He said that during the impact, something moved essentially, and it gave him like loads of front wing or reduced front wing, whatever. So it had to be readjusted when he got back into the pit, which obviously was when he had the tire change. But I was thinking like, okay, that makes sense. I completely understand that. But why didn't it happen at the time of impact?
Unless it was just a slow... Because it did happen within 3 laps. You saw him just like a decrease. So perhaps was just a low...
Because within it took him 2 laps to overtake Sainz again.
Yeah.
I don't know. If anyone understands...
If any smart people are in there, let us know.
Please let us know.
But after that, Max was pretty much in a race on his own. He held it comfortably. He did a one stop, came in for hard tyres.
That's like the motto of the season.
Yeah. What was interesting though, Perez, obviously the battle for P2, Perez versus Leclerc. And I'm delighted for Leclerc, in all honesty, getting P2.
I was rooting for him.
Yeah. Perez, he had a pretty solid race. He was out there. He was going for it. But he never could quite get that gap on Leclerc, because obviously Perez did a two-stop. Ferrari ended up doing a one-stop. This is when I turn to Luke and go, this is where Ferrari are going to fuck up here, because they're just going to do a one-stop. Those tyres are going to go.
And I was looking at it and I was just like, I don't think the times add up. I don't think he can close this gap.
No. But I was just thinking to myself, I was like, no, Leclerc's going to just wreck those tyres. Perez is going to gain in. However, when you think about this stuff, okay, Perez was 1.8 seconds behind Leclerc at the end of the race. He had that little battle with Lewis, probably lost about half a second.
Tell Lewis he's a legend.
Yeah. Also, you got stuck in traffic. Was it with Vettel? Or Gasly even held him up as well with his battle with Williams.
Yeah.
So all these factors.
There were all those little things that gave Leclerc that advantage. Breathing space.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the battle with Lewis, definitely that was a thing. And for us Mercedes fans, it felt like poetic justice.
Yeah.
Just watching it happen. But the reason I feel sorry for Checo, I don't feel sorry for Red Bull here, because they brought that on themselves. We said they could have swapped the positions in the sprint race and the race, and they would have been level on points.
So he ended up being 3 points behind in the championship.
So if he had got an extra point in the sprint race, and then he would have got an extra 2 points in the race, no?
So where did they finish? Hang on, let's have a think about this. Oh, God, that's not what I want to do. So in Brazil, for example...
Max was P5.
Max was P4, so got 5 points. Perez was 5th, so 4 points. So that's 1 point.
This was in the sprint.
This was in the sprint. Yeah. So if you're looking at...
And the race, he was P5.
Sergio Perez was P7, Max was P6. So Max got 8 points, Sergio got 6 points.
There's 3 points.
They would have been tied. Leclerc would have still got it, though, because of race wins.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Who has got more race wins this season? It's got to be Leclerc.
Who would have got it? Who was in there going into the final? I can't remember who it was. But anyway, regardless, Red Bull could have put them in a good enough position for this race weekend.
That, and this is, you know, they were saying on commentary, they're like, oh, it's all well and good Max saying he'll help him at Abu Dhabi, but he missed a chance. He should have helped him at Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the opportunity was.
There's a real emphasis this weekend on Red Bull. Oh, Max is going to do everything he can to help, you know, Sergio, all of this stuff. But I think the damage was done.
Did you see the blatant lie that Red Bull put out on a press release?
No.
Saying that essentially, it was a miscommunication. You know, Max hadn't been told to give the position back until the last corner.
You spent a whole lap talking about it.
You know, we can literally listen and watch the onboards. Like, we physically hear everything. We know that that is not the case. Like, I could not believe the audacity to just, point blank, lie about that.
Talk about Red Bull and shithousery this weekend. That photo. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you do, comment down below before I tell you.
Have you no shame?
Everyone knows what happened in 2021. So Red Bull decide to have a little Polaroid photo of Max overtaking Hamilton into turn five and holding it up against that corner. I'm not being funny. The backlash they got from that. Have you seen some of the comments?
Yeah.
They were brutal.
Shameless.
My God. I mean, yeah. Do you have no shame? That was shithousery to a whole new level. So fair play, Red Bull. I think if anyone has had the worst reputation over the last two weekends, it's probably been Red Bull.
Yeah, well, they've had a pretty rough season for reputation.
Yeah. But take away that, on the track, we've had a very good season, being dominant. Finish on the race. So obviously Max dominated, Leclerc finished second, getting P2 in the championship, so well done to him. Sergio came through in P3.
Did you see, obviously Max crosses the line, it's like all these fireworks go off. And then like Crofty has been well over the top on commentary as well about how like close this battle was between Leclerc and Perez. It wasn't. He was like 1.8 seconds ahead. Mm. And he was like, this is going to be a great finish for the fans to see. You couldn't see anything. There's just smoke from all the fireworks. Could not see a single thing. I'd be fuming if I paid all that money to be in the grandstand. Smoke. You wouldn't know if Leclerc or Perez crossed the line.
No.
They could have crashed on the last corner. You wouldn't have seen a thing.
It did look good though, didn't it?
Yeah, it looks incredible. But
not if you're sitting there.
Not if you're there. It's great for us at home. And maybe like the people in the pit wall.
Yeah.
Not the grandstand.
Also, may we just say, congratulations Ferrari, securing P2 in the constructors. They say it's roughly $12 million, difference between each.
How do you think Mercedes are looking at this? I know the teams come out and say, oh, you know, you'd rather finish second and get the money. And I understand why, because you can't come out and be like, well, we'd rather finish in a worse position. Do you know what I mean? It detracts from the competition.
But I think, sorry.
Yeah. They now get, Mercedes are not worried, let's be honest, right? They're not worried about 12 million.
No.
They're, you know, that is a significant amount of money to the smaller teams. Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari, probably a team like Aston Martin.
Yeah.
McLaren are probably up there. Not massively bothered about 12 mil. Definitely not the big three anyway. Wind tunnel time is huge for development.
Yeah.
And we know that Mercedes need development. So, I don't know. I think, as much as I would have liked to have seen them come second, I think this is actually better for them.
Do you know what? I honestly didn't care. I think for a Mercedes point of view, ever since probably halfway through the season, we knew this was a write-off. So yeah. I kind of got to a point where I didn't really care where we finished because it didn't matter.
I just think if they got second, I would have been like, fair play, they've really turned this around, because at one point I was just, you know, ready to stop watching.
Yeah.
And now they've managed to outscore the Ferraris, which at the start of the season was the best car.
Well, I can't believe, you know, you're wearing a Mercedes hat after yesterday. You said you're going to be a Max Verstappen fan.
What I said is, imagine being a Max Verstappen fan.
Oh, a fact.
Well, I was going to say like Verstappen, but imagine being a Max Verstappen fan. Like, you just, he has impeccable luck on the track, might I add. Rarely do things not go his way.
Oh, you're going to get some stick now. It's not luck. It's not luck. It's good.
No, this is not detracting anything away from him. I mean, like, yellow flags, etc. Things, like, really work in his favour.
Yeah.
And you absolutely need luck in this game. He's obviously a flawless driver at the same time. He has an absolute machine of a team behind him that nail every strategy, every pit stop. And he's got a car that is a spaceship.
Yeah.
So I just was saying, like, man, if I was a Max fan, I would just feel amazing.
Yeah, you'd be buzzing, wouldn't you?
So, whereas, you know, even last season, God, some of the strategy calls from Mercedes, and then they were like, Lewis's luck was shocking, and it was just, yeah, it was just stressful. So stressful. And then you had, you know, the penalties in Brazil, the disqualification, and oh no. And then this season it's been just the same. Lewis has had terrible luck with safety cars and stuff. So yeah, no, if you're a Max fan, I mean, you're coming off a high right now.
You are buzzing. Let's just finish off talking about the race. So Lando Norris in sixth, solid race for him. Ocon.
Oh, you did not see, if you watched the race, you didn't watch Lando because you didn't see anything of him.
You saw a bit of Ocon having a bit of fight with Sebastian Vettel early on in the race.
Until they absolutely screwed Seb's strategy.
Yeah, can we ask a question there? Why, if you're ahead or you're in between both Alpines and Ocon pits, Alonso pits, whatever, you keep your driver who is pretty fast just out on the medium, or was it the mediums he was on? Yeah, for so long. And then decide to bring him in. By that point, he's just dropping further and further back. No, it didn't make no sense to me.
He had to go through so many people in the end.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If they had got the strategy right,
They would have beaten,
was it Alfa Romeo?
Yep.
In the championship.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I bet Mike Crack is fucking livid.
You'll crack.
Yes.
I just think, you know, it was a silly move. And I feel like we were all sitting there thinking, that's a bad move. Especially, I remember looking at it like, Ocon's 2 seconds behind Seb.
Yeah.
And Ocon's pitted.
Yeah.
They were battling for position earlier on.
Because we literally just said, I was like, you surely got a pit now. Kept him out. Seb was on fire yesterday. And he showed he still has it. He is a superb driver, and he's going to be missed in the sport. But it didn't make any sense to me. I don't understand what their logic was. But fair play to Lance Stroll, P8, Danny Rick, P9. Obviously, with the retirement of Lewis Hamilton, that moved Sebastian Vettel into P10, which I'm glad he got points on his final race because he fully deserved to get points yesterday.
That was the first Mercedes mechanical retirement of the year.
Which is pretty bad, mad, considering how bad that car is.
Yeah, incredibly reliable though. So they ticked one box.
They have a tractor, but it's reliable.
It's a good tractor.
Fernando Alonso, another retirement. Have you seen the pictures of him basically moving all the stuff into Alpine already? Into our Aston Martin already.
No, what was he doing?
There's a picture of him walking with like a bag under his arm going into Aston Martin. They're like, yeah, shit, he didn't even give time. It's just he like, I'm out of it.
He is absolutely done with that team. He's done with that car.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. It was weird, you know, it always seemed to be something wrong with his car as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got such a good car there, but it's such a piece of shit at the same time. Yeah. They need to really figure out why it keeps breaking. You know, and it's been all season. You can look at Bahrain, the fucking side pod ripped off.
Yeah.
How is that happening then?
Just came out of nowhere, didn't it?
So. You know, I think, and then they had a little period where it's like, oh, it's sorted, and no, now the engine's broken.
Yeah.
I think Alpine will actually be fairly disappointed with their season. When they look at it...
Oh, they've got to be, yeah.
Did they beat McLaren in the end?
Yeah, they did.
But I just think they could have had so many more points. And I know it doesn't change anything, but I feel like from a personal pride point of view, they should be disappointed with themselves this season.
No, I agree with you. Looking at the driver standings, this is quite interesting. So obviously Max finished in P1, Charles secured P2 with Perez third, George Russell, good season for him in his first season in Mercedes in P4, Carlos Sainz ended up being P5 due to the retirement from Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton, the lowest he's been in years in P6, Lando Norris in P7.
But Lewis did make an interesting point when he was asked about, do you care that you're finishing below your teammate? And he was like, I don't really care, like, if I'm fighting for P5, P6. And it's true, it doesn't really make any difference. If you're going for P1, P2, If you're just going for P1, that's because that is all that matters in F1, really.
If George was fighting for the championship this year, you would be like, okay, yeah, that is awful.
Yeah.
But it's P4, P5, P6. Esteban Ocon outperformed Fernando Alonso this year.
Yeah, but it always seemed to be Alonso's car.
It did. Alonso in 9th and Valtteri Bottas in 10th. Right, so you know earlier when we were talking about the fact that, you know, Magnussen outperformed Mick this year. He didn't have a good season. I tell you, someone who had a shocking season, okay, and no one's talking about this, and it's just apparently it's just acceptable. Valtteri Bottas finished in P10, right, with 49 points. Zhou was down in 18th, right, with 6 points.
That is a terrible season.
Granted, it's his rookie season. I get that.
He has also had some bad luck. We'll put that out there as well.
Okay. But that is a massive difference in performance in the same car.
That has definitely gone under the radar. You know, Bottas is a very good driver at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we know that. He's racing Mercedes for the last 4 years. Might have even been 5, wasn't it? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah.
But Alex Albon was only 2 points behind him in the Williams.
Yeah, which is unacceptable.
And then when you put that into context, Alfa Romeo, right, finished P6 in the championship, okay, and Williams were last, but Alfa Romeo got 55 points. Pretty much 90% of that is Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah. No, that is something that shouldn't be flying under the radar.
I mean,
I don't know how he's pulled that one off.
I don't quite understand how we're going, oh, Mick has had a bad, you know, considering Mick had a awful year last year with that car. Mm-hmm. That's a write-off. This year for me was Mick Schumacher's first proper year in F1 with an actual good competitive car. Mm-hmm. Okay. When I mean competitive, I mean, you know, mid-tables. Able to score points. But he's had an awful season. But Zhou has come in an Alfa Romeo, which was pretty strong at the beginning of the season, and only got 6 points. I mean, if I had to pick a driver who I'd want to keep in F1, it wouldn't be Zhou.
Yeah.
Whether that's harsh or not, I just
find it incredible how it's not been spoken about.
No.
It's... Because I hadn't even really thought about it. And that's quite incredibly bad.
Yeah, it's awful. And when you've got Alex Albon in a Williams, who's only 2 points behind you in the worst performing car of the year.
Yeah. And to only get... Yeah, what? So 55 points your team got, and you got 6 of those points.
I mean, that is shocking.
You know, and I personally don't like the idea of just giving drivers 1 year, especially if they're new.
No,
just giving them 1 year to prove themselves. But he's going to be under a microscope next season. And I think you can only really give him till the summer. You're going to have to review. Granted, on, you know, depending on the car's performance, you're going to have to review that position mid-season. Yeah. If him and Bottas are performing more similarly, I don't think anyone's expecting him to perform at Bottas's level either. But
no, but still get it.
You know, he should be at least be like 20, 30 points there.
Yeah, yeah. So let us know. I mean, if I had to choose between which one of those I would expect to be on the grid this year, I'd pick Mick.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, Mick didn't set it light with only 12 points, but still, I mean...
That's a massive underperformance.
In an Alfa Romeo, which throughout the year did look strong at certain areas.
It had some races where it looked like a really decent car.
Let us know what your thoughts were on the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Shall we do fan questions?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one's from Ryan3.4. Was this the worst race of the season?
No.
Mexico.
Yeah,
was.
Did you watch Mexico?
Mexico was by far the worst race of the season.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it was definitely up there, but it wasn't the worst race.
I think also if you're comparing this year's Abu Dhabi to last year, well, it was a shocker. And yeah, it wasn't a great race, like you say, but did you watch Mexico?
Yeah.
That race sucked.
Next question is from John Stone Seb 16. Why
has he got so many names?
I don't know. What made you get into F1?
Christ. Well, I can tell you what. I mean, obviously, I used to like it when I was a kid. I used to play all the games. And then I used to watch it.
Yeah.
I fucking loved the games, by the way. I can't stress that.
Can I say my favourite race at the time was Monaco?
You used to like Monaco?
I don't know why. I just remember playing it on like PS1. It was just like an iconic race, which when you're younger, you're just playing.
I always love Interlagos on the game.
I was playing it in like the Damon Hill Williams.
Oh my God, that must have been on like a Nintendo 64 or something.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a Nintendo. It wasn't a Damon Hill Williams. But yeah, I was playing it in Williams.
I'm trying to think what my first F1 game would have been. It was definitely on PS2. I'm sure it would have been like 2003, F1 03.
Really?
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved the games. Let me see.
Juan Pablo Montoya was definitely in the BMW, the Williams. Raikkonen was definitely in the McLaren. The Jaguars were in the game.
Oh, yeah, this is the one.
What is it?
F197. That's what.
Damn, no.
Look at that.
I was 1 year
old. Damon Hill in the Arrows. Oh, yes, this brings back Panis in the Prost. Oh, man, this brings back memories. Johnny Herbert in the Sauber.
Johnny Herbert?
Oh, man. This game was...
That looks crap. I bet it was as well, but at the time it would have been like groundbreaking.
At the time, it was classic. Look at that around Monaco.
The games... Type in F1 2003. I want to see what it looks like.
Okay.
The games at the time, like, they felt so good.
Yeah.
Like,
but they were good because they're in our...
I still stand by it.
Oh, I remember this.
I definitely had that game.
Oh, the Toyota.
F1 06 on the PSP.
Look at that.
Was the best game.
Nick Heidfeld.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quality.
And the BAR as well. That was
Button. Pull up F1 06. Sorry.
Let us know what your favourite F1 game was. It is literally, I could...
It was on the PSP. That game.
06, yeah.
That was unrivaled, that game, because you could do such a good career mode on it.
Could you?
Yeah, it was so good.
You know what we should do? We should just buy these games and just go back through all the old ones.
Have to get a PSP.
Yeah.
Because that game was on the PSP. It was goated.
Was it?
But then, yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't... I always knew what was going on in the sport.
Oh, this is the one.
But like, I definitely didn't follow it religiously until, honestly, it was like one of the first sports back.
That's the one, 96. That's the Williams.
Look how small the car is in the group.
It looks so good. It's so bad.
But it was one of the first sports back, and I was missing sport.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get back into the F1.
Yeah.
And just started watching it, and then I had to go back through all the years to properly like. Get back up to speed with everything. But there was, you know, like I watched the Braun season.
Yeah.
I was pretty that was I would say like my final season where I followed it.
Was it
in depth?
See, my dad was a massive Damon Hill fan. So every Sunday it was basically just supporting Williams or Damon Hill. So that's where I started getting into it. And yeah, I loved it. And then all of a sudden I went through, I supported the McLaren, Hakkinen, you know, that type of era. And yeah, I loved it. Guys, let us know, what made you get into F1? What type of race was it? What driver? What year did you get into F1? Let us know.
I still remember Lewis coming into the sport.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, as a Brit, it was hard. All we had really was Jenson Button. And he was a lovely guy.
Yeah.
But you never really watched him thinking, oh, he's going to set the world alight.
Yeah.
And then Lewis came in and it was almost like, oh, shit.
It's the next level.
Yeah, like, we've got a driver that is good here.
No, exactly.
And that's no disrespect to Button, you know. There's levels to the game. And Button won his championship. Granted, he had a car that was... out of this world.
Now we're going into the winter break. Are you going to read the book?
Nope. Good. I don't like reading.
Can I take one of these mugs home throughout the winter?
Maybe.
I'll take the Lewis one. So
I spat in that one.
Good, I'll go and wash it up.
No, actually, this is my pick holder. I've got some guitar picks in here.
We'll put it in the other one.
Have you seen that? I've actually screwed this into my amp.
Yeah.
The flag. So, like...
Are we going to have a new flag for next year?
Candy?
Yeah.
A Red Bull one?
Yeah.
No.
No. Curdate, is McLaren capable of fighting for a championship next year? No.
No, not next year. Have we ever seen a gap that big get closed?
No. I can't imagine so.
We can talk about Mercedes being capable of fighting for a title next year because they are just there.
Yeah.
McLaren,
bit too
far. That step is too big. You can't even really say the Alpines.
No, because you've got to remember, McLaren haven't just got to get past, they've got to get past the Alpines. They've got to pass, I think it's too soon.
That is too big a jump. Unless there was like another huge regulation change.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Jake underscore Schiavo 5 says, who is winning in a street fight between all F1 drivers?
Oh, shit. A street fight?
I don't know who you'd mess with there.
I feel like Bottas has got some like dark like knowledge of like fighting. You know,
yeah,
like
he just like yeah.
He seems like he knows how to hit someone. You know, when you look at someone, you just think like, I just wouldn't mess with him. I don't know why, I just wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I can see it. Just trying to think.
Lando would get battered by the whole grid.
I think Ocon could do a job with his, you know, he's tall, couldn't he?
He's quite big.
He's got a big reach. He could knock someone out. Stroll, I can imagine you wind him up a bit. He'll get a bit angry.
Bit soft across the Atlantic, aren't they?
Team principals.
Team Gunter. Principals. Yeah, but Toto's huge.
Yeah, Gunter would just bite at his ankles, though.
But I don't think Gunter's that little.
No, I know, but he would just go dirty, wouldn't he?
What about Pussy Spice? What'd he be doing?
This next question, we're actually going to answer on the next episode. It says, what do you expect of the F1's next season? So we will discuss that on the next episode because I think that's a whole episode.
Are we not going to do a full season breakdown next episode?
That's what I was saying. On the next episode, we're going to do a full season breakdown. On the episode after that, we're going to discuss what we expect for the 2023 season.
Yeah.
So we have got content coming over the winter break, but we're going to take a bit of a break because, you know, we've been bringing episodes weekly. We've actually done quite well. We've only missed 1 week since this has started.
Yeah. And that was just because I wasn't in the country.
Yeah. Where were you? New York? No, Glastonbury.
Nah, no.
Glastonbury's in this country. I know that before anyone says.
I was in Greece. Was I not? Was it not when I was away with Ruth? I think I've been quite a few places this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we should say a big shout out to, well, firstly, all of the fans.
Yeah.
Everyone that's watched. We do appreciate it. We are, you know, hopefully we can take it up a level next season, get more people involved. Editor Dan.
Oh, Dan, you've been superb.
He's the true MVP.
Yeah.
Without him, none of this really happens.
Probably. Although, the last 2 weeks, I've had to edit myself.
And that's why quality. So, big shout out.
Yeah, Dan,
everyone.
You've been amazing.
And, you know, I hope for the sake of all of you, maybe not Red Bull fans, you're probably not wishing for this, but I hope next season there is closer racing at the front. I'm not, the regulations, I think, in terms of physical closer racing, been brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah, next season, let's hope Ferrari are able to sort their shit out. Mercedes actually build a good car. And
I hope it comes back with the black livery.
It's got to. It's got
to. I miss that. I miss that.
I think it makes it faster as well.
Yeah.
Definitely does.
It so definitely doesn't, does
no,
it?
No, it does.
Yeah. But guys, you've honestly been great. And we appreciate all the support over the last... this season, and you guys have got in touch. I do like the comments of how do you not have more views. I do like those type of comments.
It's sort of not up to us.
No, we're kind of, it's not something we can decide. I mean, I can put them on loop, just leave my computer running every time.
It's a bit sad though, isn't
it? A bit sad, so that's why I don't do it. But our audio views are good.
When we did release a video, do you remember, and it got loads of views, like really quickly. It got like, within like the first day, it was on like 400 views or something. And I was like, have you paid for views? I was like, tell me now, you sad bastard. I'm not being part of this. They're like, no, I haven't.
Yeah, so after that, I stopped. But no, guys, we've really loved this season. It's been good. But yes, next year we'll come back stronger. We've got a lot of stuff which we want to do next year. I might come back with a tattoo.
Matt will come back with a tattoo. In fact, stick around for the January the 1st episode. Like I say, it's going to be the 1st of every month. 1st December, 1st of Jan, 1st of Feb. And then I think we'll probably be back like 1st of March for good, won't we?
Weekly, yeah. Long season next year. Long season.
1st of January, Matt should have a tattoo.
Mm, you're paying anyway, so it's fine. Or
at least before the start of next season, he'll have a tattoo.
Yeah. You're paying, so it's great. I don't mind that.
Good. We'll get a full body one.
Oh, fuck, that would be well expensive.
I'll just tattoo Latifi's race suit onto you. You just got it from like neck down.
Oh, that would actually be quite cool. Not a Latifi one, but if you had a Mercedes one, that would be quite cool.
You wouldn't need to buy any clothes.
No.
You just go outside. Look, I'm wearing a race suit.
I could do that, actually. I wouldn't mind. But guys, thank you very much for listening and watching. We'll be back, when was it? Next week? No, week after.
Yeah, it won't be soon. It will be the 1st of the month. Whenever that is, the 1st of December will be.
We'll be back. So yeah, have a good week. Luke, thank you very much. Yep. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.